It's pretty well known around here that I am not a fan of spiders. But really, it's not so much the spiders I can see as much as the spiders I can't see that really concern me, because when I see a spider, I have a way of coping with the reality. I keep my eye on it. You know, if I see it up in the corner, I am not looking away. I'm staring down that spider, and I will give it the right to dictate my movements. If it moves, I move, and I'll say, "Lauren, I need a tissue, paper towel, something. I got it in my sights." And then she runs the other way. No. This is how I cope in the shadow of spiders. The way I seek to prevent and avoid any harm from coming. And it's also what it looks like for many of us as we live in the shadow of death. We all have our ways of coping with the fear, disappointment, despair that looms. And during Lent, we've been seeking to give up things. If you've been around for the last 6 weeks or so, we've been trying to give up things for Lent, but not the things that people normally give up for Lent. You know, meat and alcohol or chocolate. We've been trying to give up the habits, the practices that keep us from experiencing the fullness of God's love and loving others fully. We've sought to give up control and worry. We've sought to give up puffing ourselves up in superiority and complaining. We've sought to give up enemies and unhealthy expectations. And really at the heart of all of these practices is the effort that to cope with the shadow of death that looms above us. You might call these the practices of death. When we let death dictate what we do, when we are reacting to death and not to God and not to love. The women who went to the tomb on that Easter morning were walking in the shadow of death. Until these two men in dazzling clothes show up and ask them this question, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" It's almost a teasing kind of question, because the reality is that the women weren't even looking for the living. They were keeping their eyes on death. They were fixed on the shadow of death that was looming over them. They had accepted, as brave as they were for being there, that death has the last say, and had the last say in Jesus' story, that the shadow of death was the end for their friend, for their hope, for the Messiah. And that's how we live too, in the shadow of death. We gather this morning in the shadow of the deaths of 34 people in Brussels, Belgium, and many more injured. And we have, I guess many of us, watched the news and kept our eyes on that story of death this week, in part out of compassion and sorrow. But there's something else that causes us to keep our eyes on that story, and not so much the story of death, the deaths of 29 men and women in Baghdad on Friday, or the deaths of 35 in Ankara, Turkey, the week before, or the 22 killed in and outside of a mosque in Nigeria the week before that. There's something else that causes us to keep our eyes fixed on Brussels and Paris and Boston, because in those stories, the shadow of death has loomed over people who look like us and in cultures that resemble ours. And there is something in us that says, if we keep our eyes and study this and watch this, maybe there is a way that we can prevent or avoid or at least delay the shadow of death from claiming the end of our stories. And that's when we take on these practices of death, like control and worry and enemies. But this morning, we seek not to just give up the practices of death, but to give up death itself. Or at least our preoccupation with it, our fear of it, and the story that the shadow of death has the last say. You see, we tell ourselves this story that if we can somehow manipulate the world or detach ourselves from suffering or overcome obstacles or predict life, that we can prevent or avoid or delay the end of our stories, the victory of death. But friends, that's a very different story than the story that we tell this morning. So this morning we take on another story, the story of resurrection. And I should be clear that the story of resurrection is not the opposite of the story of the shadow of death. It's not as though the shadow of death is over here and resurrection is over here. The shadow of death still has a role in this story of resurrection. It's still a character in the story. In fact, when Jesus shows up among his gathered disciples on that Easter morning, he shows them his hands and feet. He shows them the marks of death on his body. See, death is a character in the story of resurrection, but death is not the hero in this story. Death does not win. Death is not the end. At worst, death is a lame duck dictator in this story of resurrection. At best, death is a gateway into an even fuller life that God is bringing to us and to the world. And so today we take on a different story, the story of resurrection. And with that story, we take on different practices. You see, in all of the things we've given up, we've taken on a new practice. When we gave up control, we took on the practice of trust. When we gave up complaining, we took on the practice of gratitude. When we gave up enemies, we took on the practice of prayerful love. And when we give up death, we take on the practice of resurrection. This is not my phrase. This is Eugene Peterson's phrase for what Christians do. We practice resurrection. What does that mean? It means that we do what Jesus did in the face of the shadow of death that looms over us. You see, Jesus knew that death awaited him. The shadow of death loomed over his life from the beginning when Herod sent soldiers into Bethlehem to kill all of the newborn children. It loomed over him from the moment he was baptized in the Jordan River and faced opposition from the ruling authorities. Jesus knew the shadow of death was there, but he lived to the glory of God and not in fear of that shadow. Jesus accepted the shadow of death as a part of his story, but chose to live a life of prophetic and life-giving love. So that is how we practice resurrection. We accept, as theologian Alan Jones says, that we are all future dead people. But for Christians, it's not just in the future, it's right now. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." You see, as Christians, we believe that when we have been baptized, we have been baptized into the death of Christ. That when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he took upon himself the mantle of humanity. He took upon himself the destiny of our human race. And when we join him in baptism, we join him in his death on the cross. And we are then free from the fears of the shadow of death. We are now compelled by love and not constrained by that shadow of death. Brothers and sisters, I am convinced, as much as any other year that I've been here, that we need Easter this year. Easter is the most important day of the church calendar, and we need it right now, in this time and place. Because I think if we look around ourselves at our society, and more concerning to me, at the church, God's people have been living in the shadow of death. We have allowed the stories of death and the voices of fear to build up in our hearts and tempt us to take on the practices of death. We have been tempted in the face of the shifting sands of a social order that many of us have become familiar with. We have been tempted in the face of the shrinking cultural authority and numbers of the church. We have been tempted in the face of racial tensions and terrorist attacks to take on again the practices of death and to abandon the practice of resurrection. But today, friends, we remember that we will not indeed find the living among the dead. And nor will we experience or achieve the fullness of God's resurrection life through the practices of death. Today, brothers and sisters, we will take on a different story, the story of resurrection. And we will follow the living Christ in welcoming the stranger instead of rejecting them, in lifting up the voices of the oppressed instead of defending and justifying ourselves, in seeking justice and peace no matter what the cost to us, in rejecting the way of the sword and the gun and the bomb, in gathering around the table as a community, in a society of isolation and individualism, in proclaiming that God is alive, that Christ is risen, and that the shadow of death has and will give way to the land of the living. We will practice resurrection because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Risen Christ, give us the courage and the strength to resist the temptations of the shadow of death and to follow Jesus in lives of prophetic and life-giving love. For the world can do nothing to us that can separate us from your love. And we pray that nothing would separate us from living lives of love in the presence of those who need it most. We ask it all in the name of the risen and living Christ. Amen.